You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we're circling back to a moment in basketball that propelled us to where the game is today. At the time, Brandon Jennings went from Oak Hill Academy to the EuroLeague, and it was a move that puzzled and surprised many. Instead of the college route, one of the top prospects in his class, Brandon knew he had the pro makeup, so he went overseas to make it happen. When he was drafted number 10 overall in 2009, he entered the league with a year of pro experience under his belt, some money in his pocket. For Gil, Brandon was always that exceptional player that could score at will, a shoot first point guard and a shot creator, but he also had the vision to go against the grain. At the time, the move made headlines and few players followed the move, but as we're seeing now, a pathway has been made to where they don't need to depend on the college system to progress their careers. As for Brandon, enough time has gone by to look back at that chapter in his life with recognition for what he accomplished and where it took him to next. It's another edition of the No Chill Podcast. Brandon Jennings. Remember, subscribe to get every episode wherever you get your podcast as soon as they drop. And don't forget to check out the No Chill channel on YouTube. And don't forget, every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, it's No Chill with Gilbert Arenas on the Fubo Sports Network. Welcome to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. Gil, you're looking something different about you this week.
Man, I got that gear on.
Get that tough crowd on.
Tough crowd.
You got that tough crowd on.
Yeah, for sure.
Brandon Jennings, welcome to the show.
What's up?
Thanks, fam. Appreciate it.
Rock the label. Making you look. We're updating your look. It's,
I'm old school, so you know, I got to get updated by the young ones.
So you're LA guy, so it's a matter of time before you came in with us. And a thing I think, Gil, we recognize is you're a pioneer of your day. That prep to pro world are going now, salute that.
Yeah, did that in 2008 with Sonny Vaccaro. He was like one of the guys to start it, to get it going. And I didn't think it would come, be as big as it is now, with Melo Ball doing it and things like that. So it's progressing. It's progressing and giving, other kids opportunities in life.
Was that a hard decision? Because it was different. No one ever, done it before. So it was one of those things. I remember because you was going to Arizona.
Yes.
So
yes,
when you opted out and went overseas, it was like was that decision just like, was it hard or were you like, nah, I'm just going to go play pro and get that experience first?
Well, it was hard because first I didn't even know if I was physically ready for that type of basketball. And I mean, that was the first time I've ever been out the country. Mm. So I was definitely it was definitely hard. And then, the media was just killing me. Like, ESPN just, who does this kid think he is? Like, it's never going to work. Like, skipping out on college. So it's kind of like, I was kind of like a villain for a minute. So, but once I got there, I just started working on my game and, I just started experiencing different things in life. So it was cool.
How was the play there?
It was definitely a lot of pick and roll. A lot of pick and roll basketball. Just a lot of teaching, too. Mm-hmm. So, and I needed that, coming from Oak Hill, number one player, thinking I'm the hot this, and go over there and just get a reality check. It was really, just really good for me.
I'm going to say it took balls, because you had to know all that media hype was going to, and the scrutiny is coming at you. For a young kid,
no one makes a decision knowing that they're gonna get killed for by the media. No one makes a decision like, the media about to kill me and I'm gonna be okay with it. Nah, you just
Not even kill you, but they're gonna analyze your game, they're gonna scrutinize the decision. It's just there's more heat than if, I'm just gonna go to Arizona.
The heat comes from, gotta remember, no one's ever done it. Yeah. No one knew what it was. So when you do something for the first time, usually people are questioning it because they never thought of it. They never thought of it. And they wanted to fail so they can say, ah, I told you, you know, you should have just went to college. Sure. You know, it's one of those type of moves. So, you know, I remember, you know, we was playing and it was like, all right, let's see how it works. But, you know, any high level player, it made sense because it's like, well, that league will be harder than college. Yeah. So he will actually get better. You know, if you just say, if I say, all right, go to overseas for 1 year or play in college for 1 year, when you leave, where you're going to be, which player is going to be better? You're going to say the overseas player. Because he's playing with adults, experience. He's learning a different type of game.
Yeah.
You know, so it made sense from, you know, the basketball side of it. Just, I don't think the media was ready for it.
Is it an obvious question, but why don't more guys do it?
Well, I mean, now they're playing guys in the G League more. I think so. I think the money's a little higher here. I heard they're starting like a 16 and under league, you know, where they're paying players for 100K. So, I mean, they're trying to find ways to keep us here. But I think a kid coming out of high school should go to China and hoop. Like, I think it'll just turn it to a whole nother level.
Do you think that's a good idea?
Financially, yes. because what ends up happening is, like, let's say you was a Jalen Green.
Yeah.
Let's say a player like Jalen Green went to China for that year. They'll pay him $1 million, $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. They'll pay him $1 million, $1.5 million.
You think so?
Yeah.
No, for sure.
If you have a big enough name,
you need a name.
He has a big enough name. If LaMelo Ball went to China, his name would have generated a lot of money. And that right there opens up another avenue. But, you know, a reason a lot of kids don't do it still is because some kids want to play college basketball. You know what I mean? Some kids like the ideal of playing college basketball. Some like the ideal of the education. You know, because you got to remember, your parents, for the most part, are going to be pushing that education stuff. So it's like, let me go ahead and do this for moms and pops.
But I think it's also the unknown. As a kid, it takes balls because you're going to go overseas. Culturally, it's a different, it's an adjustment, it's a culture shock.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot easier to say, oh, I'll go to Michigan or Duke or Carolina, something
that's
like
a,
that.
That's a culture shock. You're a West Coast kid.
At least it's your same home
country.
You're
a West Coast kid going to the East Coast and it's cold as shit there. Like, you know, that's different.
Yeah.
But, so what was that adjustment?
I mean, shit, me going from Dominguez to Oak Hill was a culture shock. Up in the mountains, up in the hills.
But at least they speak the same language. I mean, you know.
Yeah. But still, like, nobody, the nearest thing was like a McDonald's, which was 45 in a gas station, 45 minutes away. So I was basically like in just like no, just a ball and basketball. So that was like different. Like, no hanging out with the homies after, like, none of that. Go right back to the dorm and, you know. It was different. It was different.
But the other thing you had coming out was an all-time great mixtape. Which we've seen mixtapes now and how but man, the coldest ever.
High school?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were actually like the first ones to actually get it going. You know, it was just, it was also weird too, just to see guys like running up to you with cameras like during that time. That was the MySpace era time and, you know, all that Sidekicks and everything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that era was fun, man. You know, a lot of guys like John Wall, OJ Mills, Derrick Rose's and all that. So it was a lot of great mixtapes.
There was some good mixtapes, but there was some good ones. But yours stood out to the world. It was like, it was one of the, you know, we all played high school basketball. You know, you play high school basketball, you think you're the coldest thing walking. And then you just go on the internet and and bam, like, what is this? And that was what we all, like, NBA players, like, yo, hey, nah, bro, who is this, bro? Like, what moves does he have? Sitting there, I'm not left-handed, but let me go ahead. And we sit here writing moves down, you know, because once you got to that level, you didn't really look down. But as soon as the mixtapes hit, yeah. that changed everything.
And you were part of that wave that shifted.
Because you got to remember, we're pros and we're seeing high school kids do shit we didn't even think of. Mm. You know what I mean? And we're sitting here like, yo, that's coming. Yo, we gotta change our game up. Fuck the people who we're playing against now. They got them regular ass crossover moves. This is some whole different type of stuff that we ain't even ready for. So we had to adjust quick.
And you were at that time, you were just playing your game, being yourself. Mm-hmm. That was captured, right? Cut up, looked cool. Now, some kids do it for the mixtape, and they want that part of their game showcased in the mixtape.
I think I got to blame the internet for it a little bit. I mean, because when we were playing, I mean, you know, back when I was coming up, I mean, you know, guys like Gilbert Arenas, the Drew League and everything, mm-hmm. like that was like, you know, when the Drew League was in the middle of school, mm-hmm. you know, so... It was just different. Like the era of the UCLA runs were different. I remember being a young kid going up to UCLA playing on the same court with you guys and, you know, Paul Pierce and all this. So it was just, you know, we were around just a lot more. And it was more rare and raw.
Back
then. It was just raw because it was like, you know,
it was real basketball.
Yeah, it was just real. So when you got a chance, it was like, yo, I have to prove my point. Like, I got to prove my point, mm-hmm. like, right from the jump.
I was going to say it was more intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you gotta remember, it's real basketball. So it's not like, you know, we're going out there and we're purposely mm-hmm. trying to, you know, it's like now it's more of the back to the old N1 style. You know, we're doing it to be on the mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of teaming up too.
Yeah, this was just basketball mm-hmm. and it was just a very high level skill of him hooping. And that's the difference between now. Like, you can look at a player and say, all right, he's talented. You can say, okay, he's Instagram good. Mm-hmm. You know, you can actually see the difference.
Or now when that kid comes in the gym, we saw the hit. You saw your little mixtape. Now we're going to show, you know, now you're with the big boys.
Yeah, man. But that's what I said. A lot of kids get barbecued because of their mixtape.
Yeah.
Sure. No. They get barbecued because of their mixtape. Sure. Their mixtape made them seem like they was some killers. And then you be like, and then you go at it. But that's what I've said. Back when the mixtape, you're talking about Derrick Rose and all, it was real basketball just filmed and cut up and showcased. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little different. Mm-hmm. Kids are playing for the camera. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the...
That was just raw and
that was just
unfiltered.
Mm-hmm. It was unfiltered, raw, and we cared a lot about like who was ranked up above us.
Yeah.
Remember that? That was big. Like seeing them new rankings come out, be like, oh no. Like
they
took that personal. Mm-hmm. Like
Well, you get to say that. I didn't know. Like I was number 100 and I got the 99. So I didn't really know I didn't know the top 10 until shit. I was in the NBA. And I started like looking back to see who, you know, who was my peers. And, you know, that was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like the only person I ever knew that was like, it was DeMar Johnson. You know, he was ranked number one all through. Carlos Boozer. And that was pretty much it. You know, I didn't know the Joe Johnson or the Keith Bogans and any mm-hmm. of those guys mm-hmm. that was up there.
So you mentioned going to the old Drew setup or UCLA runs. What was the LA hoop scene like coming up?
Man, that UCLA run was just, it was three courts going. It would be like, you know, I think UBD, everybody would mm-hmm. be on one, like everybody would be over there. Then, you know, because the middle court, right? It was the middle court, the winter court. And then if you lost, you had to go to the side court. It was just good basketball. I mean, and being so young, being around all those, you know, athletes and everything, it was just great.
Because by the time that hit for you, the era of guys there that became stars in the league, mm-hmm. now still playing in LA, but you had these young kids that now they're playing, they're future stars. And it was sort of a golden era for LA hoops.
Yeah, when I was playing, or when I was trying to get to that run, there was really no high school kids. There was no high level high school kids. Barely any, like there was only one college guy and he was Jelani Gardner. And he was colder than most of those pros that was on that floor. You know what I mean? So other than that, you know, most of it was just pros. You know, so trying to get in the game was like, man, this is some bull. You know what I mean? So when you did get there, it's more of shell shock because you watching. You know, now, you know, these, you know, they get to experience that their junior, sophomore, senior year. You know what I mean? Getting that run, getting adjusted quicker and faster.
Well, who changed that?
Shit, I don't know.
I think
class, basically?
No.
'08 was a good class. '08 was
kept. For UCLA? Like, I got in my senior year.
But who was in your
group?
But
it was probably a little bit after me.
Me? When?
So you're before, you're after Trevor Ariza and him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So was it like Russell?
So it was like Darrell Wright. Yeah, like D. Wright was still young. Like, he was in the league hooping at that time. I think with Miami or something like that. But he was still young.
Yeah, that's before the injury. So it would have been probably that second, that group.
DeRozan?
Nah. No, a little bit before him.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, no, it would have been a little bit before DeRozan. So Darrell Wright, big kid who went to Detroit, Amir Johnson, that group. That group.
Marcus Williams.
Yep. Pooh Jitter and him.
That era.
How about now, though?
Now I'm away from the game now. Mm. I've been away from the game for about 3 years.
But you still, I mean, same with you, but you still see it as like, well, it's different. We had it a lot different.
It is different. I mean, the era of basketball is just different, though, just in general. Like, it's a lot of filming, like the UCLA runs, and I have a lot more filming now. So back then, it was no cameras, nothing. You just had to know. So it's just different, right?
What's so funny is now, like, there's, I call them, you know, like game change players, right? This is your era of a style. That's the funny part about it. When you came in when point guards were still trying to be point guards. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They were still, it was on that urge of right before point guards was allowed to just say, let's go. Mm-hmm. See, I was like Iverson was before me, where they was like, all right, you go to the two. Then you had, you know, Steve Francis. He was a showcase guy. You know, he wasn't a dominant scorer. Like, he was more of a oohs and ahs. He didn't really put up 16 to 18. So he was just different. Yeah. Then you had a Mulberry, who was that 20 to 24, 8 assists, but he was a ball hog. Mm. You know, that was the label. You 8 assists, you're a ball hog. So, and then I was just unselfish. You know what I mean? That was, you know, so when you came in, I remember it. They hit the 55, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, he has two options. Either he keeps going, his veterans is gonna try to put a hold on it. And I said, that's where he's at, because he is the new school guard that's gonna come in and make scoring okay. Mm-hmm. Or I think you still had Michael Redd.
Yeah, Michael Redd was still there.
Yeah, you still got your vet, Michael Redd. Yeah. Who else was there?
Bogut was there.
Yeah, Bogut. So I'm like, you know, you already proved that you're like, oh shit, he can put up big number. He is the next wave.
Yeah.
So it's either he just says, fuck everybody, this is who I am, adjust to me, or they're gonna try to make him adjust to them.
Yeah. I battled with that too a lot my rookie year.
Yep.
Trying to figure it out, because it was more like, you know, like you said, it wasn't really a thing for point guards to be just scoring like that. So I battled with that a lot. And that's why I feel like I was real inconsistent a lot. I feel like Milwaukee wouldn't let me be who I wanted to be.
What's so funny? It showed. Yeah. It showed. It showed in the game. It was like very aggressive. And then it was like backseat, kind of aggressive backseat. And I'm like, oh, it's them. He's battling. He's battling who he is right now.
Yeah, like, I mean, even with the high top. I mean, I came in there with the high top. Like, all that. They were trying to, like, dumb it down. They were trying to always dumb me down for stuff. And I was just like, oh, I ain't fuck with that. Like, nah, like, we got to, like, this is who I am. Like, this is what I bring. If I can't be myself, then you know, like that's just, you know, my style is important to me.
Yep.
Who is that on though to help you with that? The coach, a vet?
It's a little bit of both because, you know, if you're a general manager and you don't know what you have, you can f it up. You know, if you're players and you see something that you don't necessarily agree with, you're going to try to, you got to remember, you're a rookie. Yeah. So my word means a lot. So if I say, yo, stop shooting that shit like that, right? Mm-hmm. That's the intimidation.
Yeah.
Because now you're scoring 55 and everybody's like, oh shit, you're the new, you know, AI. Mm-hmm. And I'm the guy trying to get my career back. Nah, I need to put a halt to you.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? And that's what ends up happening. Yeah. You know, and it's one of those things where if you're not a smart enough coach or general manager to see you have a player who's going to change the game and be ready to trade or sit or bench anybody who's going to interfere with it, you're going to lose that player. And around that same time, mm-hmm. that was happening to you and happened to Tyreek Evans.
Yeah, because after my rookie year, we won 46 games. We had a great year. And then we got rid of almost the whole squad. So remember, I'm a rookie, and it's like, you know, me, Kurt Thomas, like, you know, we're bonding. Like, everybody's like, it's kind of like all right, like, look, we just need a couple more pieces. Mm-hmm. But we end up just getting rid of, like, damn near everybody. And, you know, I wasn't ready for that, mm-hmm. like, as a rookie. I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah, because
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm just like, yo. And then we don't make the playoffs the next year. So it's like, you know, that shit, it kind of just fucked me up a little bit.
But if they were building the team around you, that would have made sense. You're saying there was just a transition did we even have a plan?
Yeah, I just felt like the moves we made after my rookie year, I wasn't rolling with. Like, just off, because we already had the type of bond and the type of players. You know, I understand, me, John Salmons was there in the backcourt. Mm-hmm. Bogut, he just had to, you know, stay healthy and things like that. But we went and got, like, mad other people.
See, he experienced the opposite. Usually, when you're a high-level player, you're coming into a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, yo, do you? And then we'll build there. So he's coming into a situation where the team is decent. Yeah. So now he's relying on this team, you know, this team, we're winning. So he's already mentally adjusted to winning. Right. Okay, we're sacrificing, sure. you know, to make, you know, this work. And then it's like, all right, fuck all that, get rid of everybody. Here's your new squad. And you're like, wait, hold on,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I went from 46 to 17. Yeah. Ah. Yeah.
And I was in that, you know, to be honest with you, I was in that, that's when I had vets that were still, like you said, trying to get their careers back mm-hmm. and things like that. So it was battling all that. So now I'm really just kind of like,
yeah.
Y'all go ahead. Like, y'all go ahead.
Not to mention coming in from overseas and that hype around
right.
that.
So.
Now, that's what I said. It's usually that, like, when you see a player, like having a real up, real down, and then he's just sitting, is because he's battling with vets that they don't want to let go.
Think about that, Gil. How would you have handled that? All right, there's this young kid, a lot of sensation around him, seen the mixtape, he goes up and plays overseas, now he's coming in. How am I going to handle that?
But remember, I had John Wall.
I know. Mm-hmm.
So I knew I couldn't compete with the future. Right. So instead of me competing, here you go.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and I take the back seat because I knew if I want to survive, I have to be able to adjust. He doesn't have to adjust. He's the new guy. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's where I gave the keys to John Wall. When I was a rookie coming in, you know, I got Max Antoine, right? I got Larry Hughes. I got a full squad. When I got in, I didn't give a fuck about none of them. Dude. I remember I'm racing down the court because I talked to Tony Parker, so he's a rookie too. So he's over at so he started. He's with Tim Duncan and Dave Robinson. Yeah. So I'm like, yo, so like, what do you do? He's like, you know, in half court, you know, just get them the ball and I'll cut. And if they pass it, they pass it. If not, on a fast break, I just try to beat them down the court so I can score. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I. So that's all I did. I just went the rebound and took off, right? I tried to take off this area and fuck up play.
Yeah.
And then I remember Antonio, hey, slow down, Rook. Nah, speed up. Speed up. Yeah. So that's how I was getting my points, just trying to hurry and beat them down the court. And then I remember we were bumping heads. So like my first 2 years, it was a bump. Like they were benching me. They were doing all this, and I'm like, if they break me now, I'm broken forever. You know what I mean? That's when I realized that just like any level, everyone's trying to test where everyone's at. You know what I mean? So it's like, well, if I want to survive, I got to be able to just, you know, you're just going to have to be mad at me. You know what I mean? You know, so after the games, I was getting my ass whooped for not passing. I don't care about none of that. Tie me up, throw me in the water. I don't care about none of that. I don't care about none of that, bro. I'm getting these shots up.
Because
I got 2 years, so I have to. I'm trying to get to that next contract. Yeah, I got two years. I got fucking less than 100 games. I didn't have no time to just sit back and say, all right, let me just play my position, you know, try to figure this out. I didn't have that luxury, you know what I mean? But I seen it all the time. I remember when I had to, you know, talk to Nate. Like, we already had a game plan, All right, Nate, this is going to do, you know, be careful. So we come in the game, and I'm like, all right, watch him on the weak side, fast break, one-on-one, and he brings it out to the three-point line, run offense. And I'm sitting here like, so after the game, I was going to say the shit during the game. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo, what was that? Like, no, bro, you a tiger, bro. I did the research, you was a tiger. Don't come in here passing, bro. I couldn't guard you. Mm-hmm. You gave me a good-ass day. Like, I get to sleep tonight. Mm-hmm. I said, you averaging this, you supposed to come out fire and do what you do. Yeah. I said, don't mind what he told you, bro. Mm-hmm. He knows what you do. He put you in the game.
Yeah.
Do what you do. Yeah. Right? And I said, you have to do what you do because a coach will strip you from it. Your players will strip you from it. The fans will strip you from it. So you have to be able to withstand and do what you do. Or, you know, you get lost because, you know, they f*** confidence up.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon, what you're talking about is identity. And you're saying you don't have a lot of time. Nobody does to come into the league. You got to prove yourself early and stick with that. You got to know your identity, and you're trying to figure that out on the fly, and things can fall off.
Yeah, well, you got what they say, our window is, what, three years, right?
Yeah, window's three, yeah.
No, like 3 years, 3 to 4 years. So you got, you know, you got to go right in there and figure it out, you know.
And you feel like you got all the time in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky enough to play 9 years, you know, in the league, played, you know, 10 years professionally. So, you know, it's a blessing. You know, you just got to look at it. And you just got to keep growing. Like, growing and just, like you said, just keep going and keep moving forward regardless, like, with everything.
Yeah, I always look at situations, though. Like you look at players and you be like, well, if he was on this team, oh my God, he would have been way better. Yeah. Like, do you do that? If he had that system, oh man, that would have been hard to guard that system. Because I remember we was playing you guys, right? And Nick was with me the whole time. Because, you know, I just got off my knee surgery. Okay. So we were like, you know, looking at the scouting report, and they'd be like, all right, Gil, you got to guard Brandon Jennings. And then here come me. Ooh! Yo, he about to tear your fucking knee up. I'm like, what? Like, yo, he gonna hit your ass with one of them, boop, and you gonna like this, like, yo, hey, that shit used to bother the shit out of me. Bro.
Oh, he was the player, because this came, he didn't name your name, he just said there was a young player.
No, it was him. He was Brandon, we playing, and he's like, he gonna shake it, he gonna be like, like, he gonna shake the shit out your knee, bro. Like, so you going on the court, like, oh man, please don't hit me with a young fella. I do not want to go through surgery. And then he's like, now reverting back to the highlight tape I seen. It's like, yo, hey, listen. If he drives, bro, y'all gonna do. I am not trying to guard him like that. Like, so AD. Be ready. I'd rather guard Michael Redd, even though I don't feel like running around them screens like that. Mm-hmm. But I am not trying to be shaking big dog goddamn thing. But that shit was funny. It's like, ah! Yeah, my knees about to fall off.
Yeah. I think I played you like 4 times my rookie year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we played like preseason everything. Yep. So, yeah, we had some battles.
I would have wanted to see those UCLA runs. Those battles. Private. Like you said, it was... Yeah.
Those runs is where you see the best of someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those runs is where you see the best of someone's capability because you got to remember they're not handicapped by a system, a coach, or no rule.
Yeah.
So you will see players raw. And what you see there, you'd be like, God dang, like, I'm glad he's there. You know what I mean? Because players will have your number. That, like, you can be a five-time All-Star, and you go to UCLA runs, or and you got a motherfucking you up. Literally, busting your ass every summer you get. He can never do it in the game because he's handicapped.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
He's handicapped by a system. And that is some real, like, there's some, that's some real, like, you're handicapped.
You're put in a box.
Yeah.
When you're in the, there, you're unfiltered.
Unfiltered, that's what I'm saying. So there's guys that's not in the league, that's on benches, that's better than most of the players that's playing. But they don't ever get that.
The opportunity.
That opportunity.
Yeah.
That runway. All right, let's take a break to talk about our good friends at Babbel. You know, for most of us, learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. You know, for me, it was just getting down the terminology, the vocabulary, the pronunciation, the punctuation. Didn't sound natural or organic, and I didn't do so well with it. Well, now thanks to Babbel, the number one selling language learning app, there's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with your family, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. Now, if I could only go back to high school and apply it to my Spanish courses, I probably would have been an A student. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Think about it. You can do it in the car, on the school bus, if you're late to class, in the hallway. Any way you need it, Babbel can make it happen. Babbel designs their courses with practical, real-world conversations in mind, things you'll get to use in your everyday life. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel's lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective, and with Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. That's the key. So start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com and use the promo code NOCHILL. That's Babbel.com with the code NOCHILL for an extra 3 months. Babbel. Language for life. And let's talk about our friends once again at Athletic Greens. Today's program is being brought to you by Athletic Greens, the most comprehensive daily nutritional beverage you can try. I know it because since we got introduced to Athletic Greens on No Chill, I can't live without it, especially as part of my workouts. With so many stressors in life, it's difficult to maintain effective nutritional habits and give our bodies the nutrients it needs to thrive. Busy schedules, you get some poor sleep, exercise is necessary, right? Stress or simply not eating enough of the right foods, it all goes into it. This is where Athletic Greens can help. Their daily all-in-one superfood powder is your nutritional essential. It's by far the easiest and most delicious nutritional habit that you can add to your health routine today and empower you to take ownership of your health. And that's exactly what I did. To try to juggle all the vitamins and nutrition you need on a daily basis would have a cabinet full of pills, shakes, and powders. And that's why I love Athletic Greens. It's in one pack, it mixes with water, and you're good to go. One tasty scoop of Athletic Greens contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and more that all work together to fill your nutritional gaps in your diet. They increase energy and focus and to aid with digestion and supporting a healthy immune system, all without the need to take multiple products. And that's what it is, the simplification of your nutrition. That's the key for me. That's why I love Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens continues to obsessively improve this one holistic formula based on the latest research, producing 53 iterations over the last decade and counting. They invest in the most absorbable and natural source of each ingredient and go above and beyond in third-party testing to ensure their customers continue to receive the highest quality and best nutritional habit on the planet. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar without compromising on taste. And right now, Athletic Greens is doubling down on supporting your immune system during the winter months, heading into spring, by the way. They're offering fans of the No Chill podcast a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit our link today. You'll basically never have to buy vitamin D again. So whether you're looking for peak performance or better health, covering your bases with Athletic Greens makes investing in your energy, immunity, and gut health each day simple, tasty, and efficient. Simply visit athleticgreens.com/nochill and join health experts, athletes, and health-conscious go-getters around the world who make a daily commitment to their health. It's every day. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com and get your free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs today. Okay, real talk here. That soap or body wash you're using, it ain't it. It's packed with harsh chemicals, synthetic detergents, and it's brutal on your skin. If you're ready to step up your game to soap that's natural, great for your skin, and doesn't smell like a middle school locker room, Dr. Squatch is where it's at. Dr. Squatch is changing the way men approach hygiene with their natural personal care products that make you feel like a man and smell like a champion. All of Dr. Squatch's soaps are made in the USA using the finest ingredients nature has to offer. That means natural cleansers and nourishing ingredients that are actually great for your skin. Dr. Squatch's soaps come in a huge range of natural manly scents that are going to transform your shower. Whether it's their best-selling pine tar or scents like bay rum and cedar citrus, you're never going to have a boring shower again. And when was the last time you changed up your soap routine? It's time for a new scent. Think about it. Make the change. And if you really want to make it easy on yourself, you can also subscribe to Dr. Squatch, just like hundreds of thousands of other guys out there. Every month, fresh bars of Dr. Squatch show up at your door. It's super easy. They've also got a full lineup of personal care goods like deodorant, hair care, and toothpaste. That's what it was. It got me thinking. It's time for a change. These showed up at my door, and it's definitely overdue. So right now, new customers can get 20% off orders of $20 or more when they go to drsquatch.com and enter the code DSCNOCHILL. That's drsquatch.com with the code DSCNOCHILL for 20% off orders of $20 or more. That's some real talk.
31. You're 31, right?
Yes.
Why are you not playing?
Why I'm not playing? I'm not playing because I just fell in love with something else. I'm just moving on with my life. Just far as like the mental outside of basketball, you know, I went through a lot mentally, family and friends and stuff like that. So I'm just in a different space.
Was it the experience? Just the experience of just those 9 years?
Yeah, just those 9 years. And I just needed to start loving myself again and just start like doing what's best for Brandon. So I just feel like I'm just doing what's best for Brandon. The vibration, what I'm on, you know, my new company. And, you know, I just accept it. Like, you know, I did my thing, you know, 10 years and I just accept it. And I'm ready just for the next chapter.
What's so funny is that's when I was in Memphis, right?
Yeah.
I used to watch, I had Jeremy Pargo and Josh Shelby. Those were the two rookies that was in with me. So I used to just, you know, watch them. They put their work in, yeah. Right? Game time comes in, sit the little asses on the bench, you'll get in, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm training with them, trying to show them how to be professional, show them how to work out, right? I'm not on their level no more, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I'm not on their level mentally, physically anymore, but they're getting benched because I'm a vet. Mm-hmm. At the end of that season, I sat there and I had to ask my question, do I love this anymore? Or was there too much bullshit, mm-hmm. you know, that just says go a different direction?
Yeah.
So people actually thought I was blackballed because of the gun situation. Like, nah, I played in Orlando after that. I went to Memphis after that. I was mentally, I didn't love it the way I did. Mm-hmm. And since I didn't love it no more, I don't want to be on one of those guys that sat on the end of the bench holding up a spot for somebody else trying to live their dream.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was my reason, you know. But, you know, I was looking at you. Yeah, I'm like, 31? Damn, Steph is 32. This person 33. This is your game, right? Yeah. This is, you know, and I'm looking at like, wait, hold on. He was handicapped in his early career of that style, but this is his style right here.
Sure.
And at 31, this motherfucker is still going to.
No, for sure. I feel like I could still go, for sure.
And I'm like, this is his style of the guard that's in pick and rolls, that guard that gets to go one-on-one, mismatch problems. That motherfucker would eat this era up. And I said, you was handicapped by my era still, but this is... No big. This is your era. So I was trying to figure like, no, man, get back up in there.
Yeah, I still could. I mean, you might hype me up too.
That's what I said. It's like it's like. I mean, you got to remember, everyone that's still at a high level are actually older than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Russell's older. KD's older. James Harden's older. Curry's older. DeRozan's older.
CP, yeah.
Yeah, see, I mean, you know what I mean? And that has nothing to do with speed. You're still faster. Still can shoot. Like, it's one
of those. But the real thing, what Brandon's saying is that people don't understand. Oh, you get millions of dollars to play basketball. You know what you're doing at that pro level. But the point is, if I'm not feeling it, if it's the mental.
Sometimes, like, sometimes when you work so hard and you don't see the fruit of the labor, you get discouraged.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, the free agent year, I know, like, mentally that hurts too. You know what I mean? You out there busting your ass, you looking at your numbers, and this is what I'm going to get. Yeah. And they like, you know, you can do it 1 year, and you're like.
Yeah, I was butt hurt my year when I tore my Achilles, and you know, like and then other people got paid, and it's just kind of like, now I got to sign in 1 year. Yeah, like you said, it's just kind of like here we go.
Yep, and sometimes the business of basketball screws.
Yeah, it takes the fun away.
It takes the fun away, you know, and people don't realize that the business of basketball sometimes takes the fun away and takes the passion, you know, out of someone's journey. You know.
That's why your team got to be strong, though. You got to have a strong team. And it starts from home, too, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got to make sure your home is straight. You got to make sure your team, everybody's around you. So, you know, I think that's where it starts.
But sometimes even your home situations, no matter how strong it is, they don't understand this part of it because they haven't been there.
Right.
You know, so, you know, no matter, you know, what you're saying when you go back home and they're trying, they still don't really, they really don't understand, you know, the battle that you're mentally going through, you know, from, you know, coaching, Rhodes, you know, he's not playing you the way he's supposed to be playing you or what you deserve. Yeah. You know, this guy's picking on you, you know what I mean? Yeah. He ain't calling the plays that I, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I remember hearing a Kobe story, which is funny in itself, but it makes sense.
Right.
So Kobe's averaging 35, right? He's averaging 35. Mm-hmm. Killing. He's mad at Rudy T. Because he says, you're not giving me the ball where I want the ball. Right? He's like, wait, what? You're averaging 35. Yeah, you're making me bring the ball up and doing all this because if I didn't have to do all of this, I could be averaging 40. And I had to think about it like, okay, it actually makes sense. You're thinking I'm giving you the ball early. Yeah, like, no, that's not where I want the ball. Just hold on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that's what the beef was about, though. Like, yo, you ain't giving me where I want that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's averaging 35.
That's funny.
So what you're saying there, Gil, it's the life and the role of a bucket getter, which is what you were and you are. It's not always welcomed, but it's needed.
It was always needed. There was this, you know, Magic Johnson is the one who made that pure point guard a thing, even though he was, you know, a small forward, and he had point guards on his team. but they just end up being scores. I'm the type of, you know, player and, you know, coach that I want all my players as weapons. I don't want a dead man. I don't want a dead man on the court. Like, I want everyone a utility guy. Everyone can be able to put up, you know, I'm a guard, so I want my guards to score. Like, the more you can score, the easier it is for the pass. If you're coming out thinking pass, he's never going to get an open shot. If you go in thinking score, 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 that means his man has to help. When he helps, then you pass. You know, so someone like, you know, Russell, the reason he can score, you know, he averages 10 assists ain't because he's passing shit out of the ball. He probably makes 20 passes. You know what I mean? But those 20 passes is here. I'm trying to tack here. You know what I mean? So he's getting 10 assists versus someone who's making 100 passes getting 7 assists. You know, and, you know, I would rather have a guy trying to score 55 every game than, you know, someone trying to, you know, score 17. I don't 17 don't help me because I'm one of those. If your ability says this is what you can do, I want you to tap into that ability all the time. Those other guys will figure that shit out themselves. You know what I mean? Because you ain't making them better. Their work ethic, their training, their individual works makes them better. And we have this fake notion of the point guard is supposed to make me better. It's not a real thing. If you're a Honda, you're Honda. Right. You're Honda. I can't make you a Ferrari. That's not how that works. You can upgrade your own little piece, get your new engine, you know, put some little spoil. That's what you can do to your own car and make yourself valuable in this game. You become a three-point shooter. Now when I throw it and pass it, you make sure. I didn't make you better. You worked on your game, made you better. But they have this fake notion of guys make each other better. Did Curry make Durant better? Did Durant make Curry better? Right. Is Durant making Kyrie better? Is Kyrie making James? No, just good guys together, and they figure that shit out.
Right.
You know, so I want bucket getters. I want.
And you look at guys, Jamal Crawford, Lou Will, Jordan Clarkson. You need those guys. There's going to be a point in the game or a point when you had a plan and that's off. Go do it for us.
Yeah, you got to know how to utilize them, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, you can have something special and you don't know how to use it. I you know, especially, you know, when I was playing, I hated that six man who got buckets. You know what I mean? It was one of those things like, man, like, yo, hey, my guy subbed me out.
You're saying that he puts pressure on you.
The starter average is four, bro. This 21 coming off. I'm not guarding him, man.
Right. That's funny. Yeah, bucket getters.
And that's what ended up happening, because you remember back then they had like, when I was in, they had like starters or Ivory.
Roy Ivy.
You know, players like that, you know, he's just there for defense, going to get to. I can guard him all damn day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't want what was coming off that bench.
Right.
I don't want Jamal Crawford coming off that bench.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You know, that's what I said. That's when they had the fake. They had that. Like, I guard Patrick Beverly all day. I do not want to guard Luke Williams coming off the bench. No, thank you. I can have that.
Yeah.
So you see what it is. You see how the mind works and the theory there. So let's ask Gil some questions. Dive into it. Ask Agent Zero.
Ask Agent Zero. Is it true, right, when you used to get off planes, they say you used to go to the gym and be in the gym like 3 or 4 in the morning?
Yeah.
And like literally be like off the plane and like.
Because I went by my routine. I had to do the, you know, like early in my career, I was studying the shooter's wall. You had the rookie wall, and then he has that shooting slump.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out a shooting slump. What is a shooting slump? How do you get in it? How do you get out of it? And, you know, I started realizing when I was tracking my shots, how that happens. You know, if you're on a West Coast trip, right, and you got, 9 games in 13 days, you ain't really getting no shots up like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? You go the day before the game or the day of the game, get your pregame shots in, then you play. You know, if you're the star player, taking about 12 to 20 shots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a game the next day, do the same little routine, and then you have a day off, you take the day off, and then, you know, so in that 5-day, you know, span, you took less than 500 shots. Versus when you in the summer, 300, 400 shots a day, 500 shots a day. So your shit is on point. So you're not having a shooting slump. It's just not A1 like you once was. So I had to figure out how to keep the volume up. You know what I mean? So when we landed, you know, 5 o'clock, I try to get to a gym, get my 200-300 shots in, and that's what I would do.
Yeah, that's tight. That's crazy.
You know, it's, you know, it was just trying to find ways to get better, because in the summer, we're equal. Mm-hmm. We're all working out 3-2 times a day trying to, so I have to try to figure out how to get better than you is during the season. Mm-hmm. You know, so I got to try to catch who I'm trying to catch during the season, because I got to put everybody on the same playing field in the summer.
Yeah, I know that DC airport. So I mean, you used to fly from all the way, take another hour just to go back to the arena and shoot.
Yeah, go back to the arena, yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, when I go to town, look for a 24-hour fitness or one of those hotels that had a gym in it.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's what you're thinking, that most people that get off that plane, they want to go home and sleep, but you're saying it's advantage, dangerous. You gotta find it.
It's one of those things where when the season started, you know, it was really all about the season. So, you know, I didn't use my phone much during the season, you know, all that ticket shit, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. One argument, we broke up. It's over. It's over. I ain't even got time to be playing those mind games during the season. You didn't, you know, we got off the road, they want to go out to eat, you wanna, like, I ain't got time for these little mind games. You know what I mean? So, you know, I tried to, you know, follow the rule of what I thought the old players was doing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The Magic Johnson, when you heard those stories. Yeah. So I was trying to figure out how to get, you know, how to get better, you know. Because it was one of those things where when I came in, I didn't have money. You know what I mean? I spent that on chain, Escalade with the speakers in it. So I came in broke. Yeah. So there was no clubbing for me. There was no really trying to go pick up girls, because nigga had no money anyway. So it was one of those things where I just had to sit in the gym. So by the time I got popping, I'm already got a habit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm stuck in my habit now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we mentioned this. Gil's modeling, tough crowd right now, but there's much more to it. And you mentioned this, vibrations. The vibration that you're on, is that what led you into starting the company?
When I went to China in 2018, that's what kind of got me into starting the brand. I was like the only, like, you know, black person in, you know, Taiyuan. So it was like, you know, it was just tough. And I used to always be like, man, this is tough. Like, this is a tough crowd. So ended up just buying the name. I was sitting on it for like a year, because I didn't really know what I wanted to do with it, and started making clothes. And I was just like, yo, I took a shirt and I was just like, yo, why not just put, like, you know, tough crowd on the collar? Mm-hmm. And it just ran with it from there. So it's been good, man. The experience has been great. Man, just meeting a lot of people, and a lot of people I used to know from before. So it's like, it's all coming back full circle. That's the crazy thing about life. Like, everything comes back full circle. So
when you say make a shirt, are you designing the shirt?
We're designing the shirt. Yeah. Washing it, you know, doing all type of, you know, things that we have to do.
Hands on.
So. Fun. Like, it was the funniest. I own Agent Zero and Hibachi, right? And was going to do clothes, and I was like, I don't know. You know what I mean? I wanted to start, you know, but I just don't like jumping in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't like, you know, just jumping into stuff, but I sat on it. I'm sitting on it trying to figure out what I'm going to, you know, what I'm going to do. I started a trucking company. Mm. So I started Agent Zero Transportation.
That's tough.
They said you have to do something with the name. So I'm like, all right.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I started Agent Zero Trucking Company. Yeah. Got me two trucks, about to put them on the road, and then go from there.
That's how it starts, though. I mean, I don't know where Tough Crowd's going to go. It can, you know, but definitely have plans, you know, definitely, you know, thinking about the future. I want to open up a school, you know, like a Tough Crowd little academy for, like 7th, 8th grade. you know what I'm saying, before they get into high school, like, you know, get them tapping into, like, different things in life.
That's, like, the toughest age, actually.
Yeah, right. But it's important, though, you know, because, you know, that next step is high school, and then, you know, after that is,
hey, good luck. And even what both you guys are saying is these things come to you. It wasn't like you said, okay, I'm going to do this, like, on purpose after this, after this. It was just something that caught your eye or you're actually passionate about. And that's the key to it. You know, wherever it goes, it's going to be on the strength of your energy.
Yeah, it's just drive. It's just drive. That's why I asked him, I said, you know, was it true about you, you know, doing what you did during the season? Because that's just the drive that these kids need to hear. Like, you know, I'm still trying to find ways to keep getting better and just trying to stay ahead of the game.
You know, and that's really the key. I think sometimes what we lose sight of is when we started playing this game to the day we make it to the pros, that's how long the training was to get there. And I don't think we actually sit there and understand. So if you started at 10 and you got, it took you 10 years to get to the pros.
Yes. Yes.
So when you get there, it's going to take another 10 years of training to get where you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's a championship, the best player, it's still the journey. And I think when we say it out loud, oh, 10 years, you're like, oh, 10, oh. And I think that's what stops us sometimes. You know, instead of saying, all right, you know, I didn't make it this year, because that's what I used to do. I used to go in, and I remember Michael Redd made it an all-star game, and I was pissed off. And the fucked up part is, I was hurt majority of that season, so there was no way I was going to make it to the all-star game. But I felt that he made it, I should have made it, one of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
And Michael Redd was killing at the time, right? But that was where my mind went. Yeah. I'm like, all right, oh, so they're going to just pick him over me?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, going to the lab, you know, trying to figure out a way, because I have to be realistic. Before I get to you, I got to crawl. I got to get this person out of the way. Get this person. Yeah. Come here. Come here. Yeah. Come here. Yeah. And that's what I was doing every year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I see Michael Redd, your third team. Nah, that's my position. That's my position. Like, you shouldn't be there. That should be me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, make third team. Second team? That's who's the second team? Oh, no, I need the second team now.
Yeah,
I need the second team now. Mm-hmm. And you jump in, and that's how I was progressing. Like, I didn't really say, all right, I'm ready for Allen Iverson and Steve Nash. No. There was levels. There was levels before them. And, you know, when you're growing up, you know, you have the number one dog, you have the number one, number two dog. There's people you can knock off your list first.
Yeah.
You go, because what happens is you go straight to them and they hit you hard, you never recover from. So you gotta, you know, build. Yeah. And when you get ready for him, you
video games. Level, yeah, gotta, big boss.
But sometimes we don't understand that it takes years of leveling up. You know, it's not a, you know, it's not, you know, I averaged 5 this year and I'm going to average 35. You know what I mean? you know, I averaged 5 and with an aggressive summer, I got the 15. Another aggressive summer, I got the 20. Like, you can, that happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just have to put in that time, put in the work and understand it. And I think sometimes we forget and we don't like the journey, even though we already been through the journey. But because it didn't seem like a journey, we was okay with it.
Why is that? Ask both of you guys.
Why we don't see it as a journey?
We don't want the journey.
No, we...
Maybe not we, but...
I think because when you're a little kid and your goal is the ceiling, right? You're doing whatever it takes to get there. Boom, boom, boom. Right?
Yeah.
We're not counting the years. Right? If I'm a, you know, 8-year-old and I'm trying to touch the ceiling, obviously I know I can't touch it this year, you know, but I'm growing, working on my bounce, you know, doing all that. And that's years before I can get there. Once you're there and you say, all right, we need to go another 10 years, and like, wait, hold on. Hold on, let me process that. Because you gotta remember the first 10 years, you didn't tell me there was no time. I was just adjusting to my height, my weight, working on my, you know what I mean? And it's the same thing when you get to it, you know what I mean? It shouldn't be no time. You know, so when you say You know, I want to be an all-star. I want to be all NBA. I want to be MVP. I want to be. You just got to put it out there and then just build on the journey. You know, you have to be. It has to be disciplined. It's hard.
Yeah.
You know,
discipline.
It's,
yeah.
It's discipline. Hard when you're in a world. When you're in a world by yourself. And when I say by yourself, you're by yourself. The only people who can really, really understand you is the other 400 NBA players that you're really competing with. we're competing with you still. You know what I mean? You got to remember, they're gonna have the same story. That's why most NBA like friends are friends still because you're going through the same thing. You know, girl problems. Baby mama problems, friends, outside friends problems, family drama, somebody stealing from you. We're all going through the same. So we can identify with it.
And you, at least you have that, you mentioned team. You have that support system. You're talking about team, like family and friends at home, but you have the support system of a team. You think about individuals. Yeah, sometimes. But like I've heard like skateboarders, snowboarders, golfers, because it's an individual sport. They're not cool like that. Like Tiger Woods, he didn't want to have friends.
Because they were all competition.
With each other.
That's you're all comp. You know, with NBA, you know, especially an LA kid. LA kid is usually different because you're usually friends. Because you're going through the AAU circuit together, you guys are, you know, teaming up, you guys played at the park and like, oh, I like his style. Let me, you know, so when those players get to the NBA, you gotta remember LA kids, I don't give a fuck where you at, you're coming back home. Sure. You know what I mean? Sure. You first thing smoking. See, as soon as the season's over with, I have my exit meeting and bye-bye. Yeah. so all the LA kids are back home.
Yeah.
They're gonna club together, they're gonna hang out together. So the LA kids seem like more of a family than everyone else.
Yeah. I mean the Drew League.
Yeah, the Drew League. So you don't really everything. You know, I've never heard of two LA players beefing. You know, over just beefing. Like, you know, I never really heard of, you know, players like that. You know, because you're home. So you're going to, even if your neighborhoods are against each other, you're going to have friends who, bridge those gaps.
Yeah.
You know, I was a Valley kid. I had LA friends who went to Crenshaw and some went to Westchester. Some of them, we go to party, one's blood, one's a Crip. And you know what I mean?
It's like whatever.
Depends on whose shoe is. Depends who I'm friends with today. For real, neighborhood, I'm with him. Bye bye. You know what I mean? And that's how it worked. You know what I mean? It's different. Like I mean, you know, LA is, you know, it's one of those things where it's you're glad to be here because the hoop game is just a whole different game.
And opportunities that come. You mentioned that with Tough Crowd. The people that you know that were in your life, they came back to it.
Yeah.
As an NBA player, you said it was a great part of your life. It was part of your life. Mm-hmm. But that opened doors for you to do other things.
Yeah, yeah. It just showed my creative side that we're more than just athletes. You know, me just tapping into fashion. You know, I'm doing this for all of us. For the next young, you know, NBA player. Next NBA player want to come up. Or just who in general. I'm just here to just give another... you know, opportunity again, just like I did when I was 19, making my decision to go overseas. So I'm always, you know, trying to be a trendsetter or, you know, I just do my thing and I just stay in my lane and I'm always just going to do me. So, you know, very always.
And it makes so much sense because you're looked at the whole drip, the whole tunnel walk. You're wearing somebody else's stuff. Mm-hmm. And now you see, I mean, Russ has Honor the Gift.
Honor the Gift.
Why not do it? You know, I'm very knowledgeable about it.
The successful one is going to be the one who puts his love into it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, he said this is his next career, and that's how he has to treat it, like his next career.
Yeah. So, and it's more just being more disciplined, like you said, patience and being able to trust the process, like, of it. Because I had Tough Crowd since 2018 to 2021. So, you know, it's 3 years. So, you know, every year we're getting better and better. And, you know, like you just said.
That's how you look at it. I mean, I remember, I think it was Nelly who said it. He said, you know, people was like, yeah, you fell off. I was like, no, I had a career. Mm-hmm. A career. Yeah. A career's ups, downs, peaks, valleys. Yeah, that's what a career is. Yeah, you fall, you build back up, you fall, you build back up. You out of, like, You know,
then even you reinvent then yourself.
You fizzle, yeah. You know, that's yeah.
That's I think the thing that people root for. You reinvent yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you gotta that's try. True. You gotta try things. You know, it's like some years you be safe. Mm-hmm. You know, because you don't know where the trend's going. Sometimes you try something edgy. You know, if they don't like it, okay, do something yeah. different. Like yeah. you know, that's what I like about Kanye. It tries different things. It just tries it, and then if it sticks,
sure
it sticks. If it does, it does. You know what I mean?
But, for sure, yeah. goes for it.
You got to, you know, because you don't know. Maybe it's ahead of its time, mm-hmm. right? And no one likes it, and then it creeps back up, you know. And mm-hmm. when it creeps back up, you're back at the top, you know, or something. Like, oh man, them shoes are not like. I'm looking at the sandals, like, man.
See, that would have worked well with Buffett. Huh? That would have worked well with
Buffett. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at it like, man, I ain't seen them before.
Yeah, I just picked these up the other day.
Yeah, see, like stuff like that. Yeah. But someone had to really put it to thought and put it out there and try it. You got to. Someone's going to like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all that matters. Someone's going to
like it. Somebody's going to like it.
Somebody's
going to like it. Yeah.
I like what you said. We started off saying pioneer, but we're going to end on this trendsetter.
Yeah,
trendsetters. We need more trendsetters.
Yeah, we're trendsetters, yeah. for sure. Hibachi, Tough Crowd, you know.
I already said. Wait, did you just say Hibachi, Tough Crowd, like a collab?
Agent Zero, hey, you know. Never know.
Well, I got to step my game up first. I got to step my game up first. But.
Yeah. It's a process.
Yeah. But I mean, Tough Crowd, that's a clothing brand. Huh? Agent Zero's, that seems like basketball
game. Frame of mind.
That just seems like basketball gear. You know what I mean? Yeah. Hibachi, that just, mm-hmm. that ain't, you know, that's just some basketball gear stuff. You know what I mean? Jersey, socks, and
what
shit.
What do you think?
Never know.
Jersey, never little know. Socks and shit.
You never know. We could do AAU. Right. AAU. You never know.
You never know. Brandon?
Yes. Man, thank you guys, man, for having
absolutely.
Me.
No
problem. No
with
problem.
The legend, himself.
Two legends here.
You know what's crazy? When my 11th grade year, I think I sent a picture to you. You see the picture I sent you of the shoes?
Yeah.
I had Adidas make some custom shoes of his and had like Young Money on it in 11th grade.
Man, see, that's what you know. Yeah. You got Adidas making custom shoes for you, bro.
And I told him, I was like, yo, when I used to take, we were sponsored by Jordan, and Coach used to get mad because I used to always have my Agent Zeros on. I used to be like, yo, I gotta have these on. Like, I gotta, yeah.
Jumped
gotta
over the jump, man.
Yeah.
That's great. Like,
yeah. Okay, yeah. For sure, yeah.
Business. All right, that's it. That's what we're saying, man. Trendsetters. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Two legends right here, Agent Zero, Hibachi Gilbert Arenas, Brandon Jennings. I'm Mike Botticello. This has been No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. Remember, you can catch us every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Fubo Sports Network. And we'll see you next time.